what you want, right? You don't want like you want fans to have a ravenous fan base, and you want people to just be like practically foaming at the mouth with excitement for a new season, and then ridiculously long hiatus. I mean, are we trying to rival Doctor Who here, or is it just we need time to recollect and figure out how we can keep spoilers from leaking out onto the internet, which apparently, I don't know if spoilers leaked out to the onto the internet or if it was just fans doing what they do.
Just straight off the top, do we call out spoilers for Westworld?
Spoilers, Westworld.
I think we can talk about it without spoiling it.
Yeah, for the most part.
Like, watch your minefield. Careful.
Yes.
Tiptoe through this. You won't necessarily blow up, but you might, there might be some uncomfortable moments. I don't know. I don't disagree, especially when it's official now. It's the most watched new show on HBO.
Yeah.
At least for the first season.
I've heard a lot of people talking about
and
it.
To capitalize on that seems important. I mean, Game of Thrones has taken long breaks.
Yes.
And I don't feel like it's hurt them too much, but I do think that they are down a little.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be, I don't know if that's just fatigue, you know, people coming in the fifth season or whatever, and just not, it's hard to pick up new viewers that far in.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. It seems like it would be smart to capitalize on that and not wait till 2018 to bring Westworld back.
Yes.
But look at the scope of their production. I mean, look at everything you'd have to do. And that's a good point that you made. I think it's true. I read articles myself saying that the internet speculation culture has like killed fun TV now, because it turns out pretty much everything everybody guessed about Westworld, which we will do our best, we will labor to not reveal here.
If you haven't heard, then you don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So it won't be spoiled
here. Yeah, was pretty much, and I fastidiously didn't even, once I realized that people were coming down on one side or the other for certain theories about stuff, I just stopped reading those articles because I didn't want to be spoiled because I knew they were right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that there was any leaks or anything. I think people just figured it out. But my thing is, I'm cool with that. I've made no bones about the fact that I think that we are way too obsessed with surprise and twists in modern Western storytelling,
yeah.
And that it's okay to just, sure, you should be able to predict that Hamlet's going to kill the guy and die at the end. Oops, spoilers for Hamlet, by the way. Because that's where the story's going. Like, if the story didn't go there, you'd be like, what the hell?
Well, that was weird.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, I agree. And
so that being said, the story went to places where I was like, well, that was weird.
Yeah.
These last couple episodes, especially the 90-minute finale, which, guys, if you can't do it in an hour, don't...
Or go a little bit over an hour.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes Game of Thrones does that,
yeah.
And that's okay.
And there was just so much dumping of, like, information. There mm-hmm. were, like, literal... There's, like, three different just voiceovers in this last hour and a half that were like, this is all stuff that should have been seeded throughout the kind of slow middle period. And I'm kind of biting the hand that feeds me, because my favorite parts of the show were the slow parts where we're just getting to know these characters and establishing the world.
Well, especially because, and I think you've mentioned this too, there are a couple of episodes kind of early-ish in the beginning. I won't say like necessarily like the first two, because I think they really wanted to keep you hooked.
I think the first one is
amazing.
A masterpiece. Like, it can just, even if you don't watch the rest of the show, you can just watch this hour of TV and be like, wow. And it better win some awards.
It better. And I think the acting is phenomenal. I think that the producers have done a really great job overall as well. The writing, it's a really cool just world that they've built. I mean, I know Westworld, but
yeah.
But I do feel like they could have parsed a little bit of that information into some of like maybe episodes, like I don't remember what they were exactly, but maybe like three or four where it seemed like we weren't getting as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just paste it out a little bit more, because I do agree
with
Logan
you. And William are off on their little thing for like a long time. Nothing really happens for a while with that.
No, it's just more or less more of the same, just the different background.
Kind of marking time, yeah.
Yeah. I think there was something with like the last one with like the pacing, because like parts of it were like
kind
of boring.
There's no pacing at all.
And I didn't want to be bored. I was like mad at the show.
Yeah.
I was like, how freaking dare you? And then I hear other people being like, oh, it's fantastic. And I don't want to take away from their joy of
it.
But there's a part of
take
me that
away.
Does. And that makes me a horrible person.
Yeah.
Westworld.
Well, look, you've got over almost 2 years to apologize to the people that you feel like you took something away from. Because it's not coming back till 2018.
I know. I do want to say real quick, great music. Just like the theme song gets stuck in my head all the time. And I know that they like...
Yeah.
They...
It's okay.
Yeah, just okay.
I don't know. When I think about it, I guess I don't really think about the music. So I'm not sure if that makes it good or bad as something that is primarily supposed to be a background sort of element. Mm-hmm. And then they do like Radiohead songs or whatever.
And yeah,
so I'm
and
not
Black
sure
Hole
if I should give them credit
like
for
that.
Right. If they should get credit for that or the original artist should. So,
well, it's cool.
Music is definitely, you know, it's not an afterthought, but I guess I don't know how I feel just yet. But yeah, the theme is pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we're back. We're the Just Enough Trope podcast. I'm your host, Caliban, joined as always by my co-host.
Hi, I'm Mikan Hanna.
And we're here to bend your ear for a shorter show today as we talk about some of the news that has been neglected because of all the things we've been working on. And we're going to talk about what's going on in the world of the nerd, all the news that's fit to cast, as we like to say. And we're going to talk about something that is really exciting, the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 trailer, which is out recently. We're going to give our thoughts on that. And
yay!
I feel like we could either go all day or just like go, yeah, thumbs up.
Well, definitely thumbs up.
Clearly. Okay, good. We did it. Yeah.
And we're done.
And for our craft services segment on this Tuesday show, it's getting out a little late, but we're still at the beginning of the week. We're talking about the first in a bevy of Christmas films. Now, remember, these are not good films. That's the rule for craft services. I'm not sure who's being disserviced. I feel like it's us in this case, but the film has
sometimes
to be
it's us.
Below 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, and the first of our Christmas films, we're diving right in with Jingle All the Way.
And boy, do we dive.
Nosedive, mm-hmm. Yes. And so we will be talking about that in just a bit, or at the end of the show. How are you doing? For a woman who has seen Jingle All the Way and recently too, I feel like I know the answer. But why don't you tell me?
Despite that, doing quite well, Cal, and trying to stay above the humbug of the season.
Whoa.
That seems to.
Getting started.
I feel like I talked about this last time too. I just it's not fun when it's a job. When putting up Christmas decorations becomes a chore, it's not fun anymore.
It could be fun if there's kickbacks for you, though. Like, what if, like, Jim Belushi's Mall Santa, he's got the 411 on all
right.
secret toys. This is how bad this movie... Okay, we're just getting in the way of it. James Belushi's in this movie, and it's a total
for two
afterthought.
Seconds.
Yeah. No, and this is, like, 1996. Like, he was... kind of a thing then.
Yeah.
Like, he was in other films. So when he's in this, we're meant to think like, ooh, this is a movie star. Oh, wow, he's slumming it in this film. And he's like, got barely anything to do.
I know.
He introduces what I think is the kind of funny concept of like the Santa Black Market.
Okay, that was a funny part of the film.
And he takes him to the warehouse
on
Nicollet Island, whatever.
So shady.
Where they're making
they're
making like knockoff toys and stuff like that, and it's like, okay, that's the first kind of hint that this movie does not take place in the real universe, and of course that explodes very wide as the film continues. But hey, save it all. We got to talk about that later. But first, let's talk about some news. I'm pretty excited about the sequel to Rogue One.
How's that?
It's called Star Wars.
What?
Producers on the film...
That was a slow burn for me,
Kathleen
audience.
Kennedy and others have said, made it clear there will be no Rogue 2.
Okay.
Which,
so
already...
we won't revisit these characters.
Yeah, well, this is kind of a pre-review. We will, of course, be reviewing the film for our next, what's that, three shows out, I guess.
Yes.
But next Friday, not this coming Friday, but the Friday next, whichever Ice Cube movie that is, we will be reviewing... Rogue One. So if you haven't seen it, and I would imagine that you probably would have at that point, but we will be letting you know whether it's good or not. Now, advanced reviews, to give you a little hint, are good. People say it's good. Well, what are they going to do? Say it's bad? So we hear it's good. It's the pre-sales are through the roof. They are the highest pre-sold movie of 2016.
That's
and
crazy.
We've already talked on this show, but in other places, about how... this has been a huge year for movies. I feel like every year movies make more and more, and yet there's some story they turn around and say, yeah, but people aren't, they're not profiting off of it, you know, or like moviegoers, people are going to movies less and less.
Right.
Well, how can you keep making all this money?
Because of popcorn.
This, that's the, popcorn, big popcorn.
Well, even like the last couple of times we've gone and seen a film, I swear refreshments and we'll get maybe, you know, like a medium popcorn or maybe a drink, maybe two. It's almost as much as the tickets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, it's that's how the chain makes money. But we're worried about the studios here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
but
fair.
these this movie has pre-sold $130 million already.
That's insane.
2 weeks before it's come out.
It's so really insane.
It's going to be real big, but there will be no sequel. And like I was trying to say, I think practically that, of course, makes sense.
Right.
But you think they'd try to do something. If you're going to get Forrest Whitaker and little girl that rebels... This is so good. I'm such a good journalist. Felicity
the girl
Jones.
That rebels.
Felicity Jones. Davy Jones's kid.
Stupid souffle girl.
Souffle
the girl. Who rebels.
Where'd she get the milk? Yeah. You're going to get all these people together and they're going to be in a $130 million opening weekend movie. You got to try to bring them back in some way.
You would think.
Like have an older, like Jyn Erso.
Yeah.
I guess she'd be younger. No, no, we were doing Force Awakens now.
Yeah,
have
yeah,
like
yeah.
Granny Jyn Erso show up in
right.
Star Wars 8 or something like that. You
right.
can't just create this world and then ditch it. And if you're Gareth Edwards, the director of the film, you have to be like, I mean, are we sure we like 1.5?
Right, right, right.
Rogue One A?
We could kind of slip it in there somewhere, right?
Yeah, right?
I mean, like Star Wars or A New Hope like doesn't follow these characters really at all besides
well, no,
Darth Vader.
Yeah.
So, spoilers for anybody who's not paying attention to this at all. Darth Vader is going to be in this film. And yeah. But yeah, you would think that they would try to slip it in there somewhere. And there's certainly plenty of time between the events of Return of the Jedi and A Force Awakens that they could
yeah.
do something.
So, let's say that... all right, we'll pitch it right now. Like, about 5 years goes between the... Tantive IV being captured over
sure.
Tatooine to the Ewok celebration.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's not that much time. Assuming, and this is why a lot of people think that everybody, they're all going to die. Like, to a man
yes.
and a woman. They're just going to get wiped out, even though they will have to successfully deliver the plans. And so, only 5 years goes by. You could easily then recycle, like, it's maybe not Rogue Two. You can call it Rogue something else. Or something else won.
Rogue One, Rogue Harder. Right. I don't know.
Right. and so we have maybe she could lead the ill-fated expedition with the Bothans to get the new Death Star plans or something like that.
Oh,
all I'm saying is you,
yes.
can, you can't ever say ever, never. You have to
yeah,
leave it open.
Yeah. I mean, especially with like... We talk about rabid fans. I mean, Star Wars fans are pretty rabid.
Really?
And, yeah.
I'm checking into that.
I know. And they will come up with some ideas for you. So,
oh,
I mean,
sure. yes.
like, yeah, never say never. Exactly.
Well, moving from one star-related franchise with rabid fans to another, it looks like Star Trek Discovery is finally getting serious about getting things going. They are
yes.
shooting in the new year. As far as I know, they're keeping their May 2017 release date, and they have announced
which is impressive.
The casting of several actors in certain roles.
Oh, thank God.
They have confirmed that Michelle Yeoh will be in the show. She's playing a Starfleet captain, but not necessarily the captain of the Discovery, as far as I know. She's playing a character called Captain Georgiou, and she is the captain of the starship Shenzhou.
Okay.
So I don't... Do we have to put a Chinese captain on a Chinese name ship? I don't know.
Apparently we do.
And also cast are Doug Jones, an actor from The Strain, and also Hellboy. He's like an actor slash contortionist. He's a real like thin looking dude. He
Whoa.
Played Abe Sapien. He plays a lot of roles that require makeup because he's like... Has a real
That's
physicality.
That's part of his deal.
Yeah.
Huh.
And also Anthony Rapp, who's probably most famous as being the guy in Rent. Fingerless gloves, glasses.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Mark from Rent.
Well, I knew you'd know. Lieutenant Jones.
Sorry,
Lieutenant Jones. Doug Jones is playing Lieutenant Saru. He's a Starfleet science officer, and he's a new alien species. We don't know what that is yet.
Huh.
Which is, my problem is like, you have to keep... Every time you do one of these prequels and you put a new alien race in, why weren't they in
the
later stuff?
Yeah.
do they all get killed, or do they quit the Federation or something?
Or are they like in a deep part of the universe that the other other generations of generation ships do not go to?
Well, they're not really generation ships. That's something else.
Well, that's true.
Although every ship on the Next Generation, the generation ship. And Rapp is going to play Lieutenant Stamets. He is an astromycologist, which is kind of funny. It's a space fungus scientist, which we've never seen on the show, but it would totally exist, I assume.
Okay.
And he is a science officer aboard the Starship Discovery. And also he will be, as far as we know, the openly gay character.
Okay.
On the show.
Cool.
I believe. So, yeah, that's what we got so far.
Awesome.
That is about it. It doesn't seem like much, but when you think about how little we've learned about this show, like, that's huge.
Knowing with it that coming out
three
in
human
May,
beings are going to be on this show.
I know.
Huge.
And it's like 5 months away, just about a little bit, maybe like six, five. You know, it's not that far, people.
Yeah. Just a kind of sad suffix to this story. Brian Fuller is not involved at all with the show at all. He had stepped down from being the showrunner a couple weeks ago.
I know.
But in an interview with Entertainment Weekly recently, he confirmed that he has no involvement, period, now. So the way that this works, I'm sure that when the show comes on and it says produced by, you'll see his name. But from here on out, he will not be involved with the show going forward.
That makes me really sad.
Well, especially when we're left to the tender mercies of Akiva Goldsman.
Your favorite.
yeah. Well, anyway, it was fun to dream while it lasted. Hey, let's talk about something that's more exciting in terms of the producing department. Do you know this Hamilton?
Well, I think I might have heard
something
of it.
About shots and whether or not they'll be thrown away.
Oh, yeah.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, the originator of Hamilton and the until recently starring guy, he's moved on, of course, to do other stuff. And what he's moved on to is he's been signed on to produce the King Killer Chronicle film and TV series adaptations.
By Patrick Rothfuss.
Patrick Rothfuss, former guest of the show.
Yes.
Yes, creator of the King Killer Chronicles books, starting with In the Name of the Wind and going from there.
I think I've heard of this.
Yep,
yeah.
We reported on this. Actually, just before we talked to him on the show, we reported on this huge deal that is for TV shows, films, video games, you know, bubblegum.
That's
male
crazy.
Tampons, you
Stop.
Know, the whole thing. They're doing the whole full court press. And apparently you go, okay, so we know this guy can write like musicals.
Yep.
Why is he writing this film? Well, if you know the series at all, you know that music is very important to it. Like Tolkien read this and went, it's too much music. And so I think it's important, or at least they thought it was important to have somebody with that kind of background connected to it. Whether there's rapping or not, I don't know.
Well, yeah, we don't know. I was trying
to think about what is it. This is where the beatbox comes into it. My name is Kvothe and I'm here to say I can love the killers in a magic way. I don't know. Anyway. this is why he got the job, not me.
Stop.
And apparently these two know each other. Pretty well, and they've been tweeting about this for a while. Like Miranda basically like tweeted at him like, you know, I heard about the deal. Wouldn't it be cool if I was doing that? And Patrick Rothfuss was like, if insofar as I have any control over this, I would absolutely love for you to do that. And so now they're doing it.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yes.
And knowing Patrick Rothfuss, my guess is that he'll have some like creative input into
really?
It. Don't you think?
Well, he might be able to look up for a few seconds from managing his multi-million-dollar charitable efforts to
I
go,
know. He's a busy
looks good.
Guy.
Yeah.
Right. So. No, I'm not saying like necessarily for the day-to-day, but like as far as just like being involved somewhat and being like, hey, oh, that sounds great. Yeah. Or maybe change this.
I like
or,
how
you know.
People think that authors can just, they're just writing. And if they're sleeping or defecating or eating or whatever, they're not doing what they're supposed to do, which is write. But from him, who, like we said, when we spoke to him, actually, you can look up World Builders Charity.
Yes.
It's his charity. He raises millions of dollars. George R. R. Martin isn't just like watching Survivor instead of writing his book. Like he is sponsoring other writers. He's working on TV stuff and movie stuff. And so come on, man. Give him a break.
Yeah, I know.
Give him a little break.
But it's just, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of our talk with Melissa F. Olson recently when her talking about how her daughters don't believe that mommy has a real job when she's like writing.
No employed person wears sweatpants.
Yeah.
Unless they're like, a personal trainer.
Mom.
Yeah.
Or like when she's like making dinner and then she's like gets an idea and she puts them in front of the TV and she's like, okay, girls, mommy has to go work. So you get to watch a half an hour TV show. And they're like both kind of look at each other like, work. Neither of us want to say anything because we want to watch the show.
Yeah,
but
all right. We'll let her have
hey,
her dream.
Mom. Right.
Take me away, Dora. Kids don't even watch Dora anymore.
Some of them must.
Do they? I don't even know.
I don't know.
Didn't she get like a sexy makeover?
Oh, please tell me that's not true.
Because we're on like Dora like version 2. I guess it's like Steven Universe, right? That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
Fun fact, Sinbad, the star of the film we're going to talk about in just a little bit, does one of the voices on Steven Universe.
Oh.
It's like the only job he has. Still. But paying off his taxes.
Okay.
We'll talk about that later.
All right.
I should have mentioned before we were talking about Star Wars. You know that they are remaking, or they have announced that they are remaking extensive parts of the parks. Disney World, Disneyland are getting Star Wars stuff. Of course, we all knew this was coming. They already have like the Star Wars dance-off experience and all the source of all the horrible YouTube videos you've seen of like Krunk and Chewbacca. I saw Krunk and Chewbacca at the Turf Club. They're not as good as you heard. And
I just can't even right now.
But they are adding a lot of their stuff. It sounds like they are unlikely to these attractions will be there for a while. But one thing that they're doing to promote them is they are turning the Starship Earth ball, the famous silver sphere you see, into a Death Star, because of course they are.
Oh, nice! So you enter Epcot and then Death Star.
Yeah. So something that was a symbol of a future community dreamed up by just a few crazy dreamers about the way that Earth can be is now going to be literally the planet-destroying sigil of a galaxy-wide empire.
I mean,
very fitting.
I love Star Wars, but that's a little unwelcoming.
Political commentary goes here. So like I said, it's probably not going to be permanent, but they're like, oh, yeah.
I mean, okay, it makes...
it's unnecessary.
Why can't you do something else? I mean, I freaking love the Death Star,
but... it's just so easy.
Be welcoming you.
It's like the first... Yeah, right. It's the first thing. Like, you go, silver ball, silver ball. Oh, ooh. Yeah, duh. But come on.
Guys, work harder than that.
Why not turn it into like a Life Day bauble?
There you go.
They have those... things.
The little orbs.
We celebrate the something thing, right?
Yes.
A lot of Star Wars on the show today. Gotta save that for next week.
Got Star Wars on the brain.
I don't think we've even left. Well, I guess Star Trek isn't Disney, but going back to another Disney property, because geez. Hey, guess what?
What?
The Lego Batman movie is heading along apace. I'm sure it's done now, essentially.
I should hope so.
Yeah, and they've announced some new voice talent for the movie, specifically Billy Dee Williams as Two-Face.
He's Lando Calrissian, right?
Yeah, but specifically in 1989, he played Harvey Dent in the Tim Burton Batman movie.
Really?
And it's kind of, he's got like two or three lines, but he's kind of joked in the past, I joked when I saw the film, that I couldn't wait to see him become Two-Face, and of course, he's recast as Tommy Lee Jones for the awful, awful Batman Forever.
Yeah. Okay.
So now he gets his chance.
Well, that's kind of interesting. You know, I had a dream where Lando was like dancing. Like, and there was like little Landos and everything.
Yeah, that sounds like a good dream.
And then I was like, in my dream I was like,
better all the time.
And like in my dream, I was like, why is Lando Calrissian dancing? And then I woke up because I wasn't supposed to be sleeping.
Is this at work?
No. This was this past weekend. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm still dreaming. This is bad.
Well, that sounds fun. My dreams are all just work now.
Are they really?
Yeah. Like, some people like work, and they like the job. They don't, but it's very routine, and they go home, and they have like amazing dreams. I feel like all I dream is about work. Like, I'm like...
just
I
like stress dreams.
Get these papers. But it isn't even like stress. Like, I gotta get these papers from this side of the desk to the other. It's just like, paper. I'm just moving papers.
Just like Excel spreadsheet after Excel
spreadsheet. Let's copy this. Yep.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Anyway.
That's
terrible.
Well, I hope the movie's better than this. The movie comes out February 10th of next year, when all good movies come out in February. And just a little note, Ralph Fiennes is playing Alfred. Michael Cera is Robin. Zach Galifianakis is the Joker. And Rosario Dawson is Batgirl. Oh, and I should say Jenny Slate is Harley Quinn, because you have to have all celebrity. There's no Tara Strong must be just pissing in her jingle bells right now, because everybody's got to be a celebrity voice, I guess. So we get Jenny Slate instead of about forever.
Can I say something really quick?
Although if she does it as Denise, then all's forgiven. I'm Denise.
That was the best, honestly.
Cool show. Look at that.
Yeah, but I gotta say, I feel like her, if she's just doing like her, Parks and Recreation character or whatever, or
Mona Lisa,
or something like that. I hope she does like a take on Harley Quinn,
because
like I gotta say, if she does that. If she does like Mona Lisa, I think I'm going to flip, because I think it's going to be more annoying.
What I'm going to know.
Oh, Mr. J.
See, now that. Did you read for that? Because
no,
that
I didn't.
Wasn't bad.
Oh, thanks.
Original Harley Quinn, Tank Girl. Let's move on. Look it up. Come on. Am I wrong?
No. Yeah.
That's.
Absolutely.
Paul Dini and Bruce Timm were just probably smoking a bowl and like watching Tank Girl, and we're like, wait a minute.
Harley Quinn.
Or actually reading Tank Girl, I guess.
Before, yeah.
Because she probably debuted on the cartoon show before the movie came out. In fact, I know that's true. Doesn't matter. Let's stop talking about bad Malcolm McDowell movies.
Okay.
Unless they're Caligula. Just a couple of notes here as we move out of this segment. The Aquaman movie has a working title and a technical release date.
Alrighty.
The Aquaman is supposed to come out July 27th of 2018. And the working title is Ahab.
I'm sorry, what?
You heard me.
One more time.
You heard me.
Ahab?
Ahab.
Like, did they, like, sound it out? Did they say it out loud before? Did anybody, like, did they test this with, like, I don't understand.
They did test it. I think Gordon's Fisherman was the first thing that they went with, but Momoa doesn't look good in the slicker, and so they moved on to Ahab. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I mean, is this just supposed to be a literary reference to Moby Dick here? I mean, is that what we're doing?
I guess. But remember, it's a working title, so it isn't necessarily definitely going to be Ahab.
Okay.
But still.
Let's hope this is just what they're starting with.
Yeah, and speaking of bad decisions, let's talk about Barbie. There is a live-action Barbie movie that I'm sure has been in the works forever, because...
Because why?
Because there's been like three Smurfs movies, and there's never been like one like major Barbie motion picture.
Yeah, I know.
So we've moved on, and Amy Schumer is in negotiations currently to play the titular role of Barbie.
Which is just so weird.
Well, let's talk about it. So it's scheduled to come out in summer of 2018, so right up against Ahab. And... And apparently,
Barbie and Ahab going head to head.
Right. And apparently the sort of pitch or the sort of story that they've got for the script is that there is like a Barbie world. There's like Barbie land where I guess all the Barbies.
I'm a Barbie girl.
Okay. That will
Barbie
definitely.
World.
That ink is dry on that. That will be in the film for sure. And they are all, I guess they all live together. I guess if they're all just Barbies together, it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter.
Right.
And so she is a Barbie that doesn't fit in, because she doesn't look like the other Barbies, and she isn't like a president or the astronaut.
She doesn't
or
act
switch
like
those
the other Barbies.
Articles around. Yeah, and so she gets thrown out of Barbie world to the real world, where she has to, you know, learn some lessons, and then she comes back, and she knows how to dance and do the mashed potato and do the twist and all that.
Right.
So I think that's kind of what the pitch of the story is, and it looks like it's pretty much sealed up. Like this, she's probably going to do this.
Just got a couple of things about this. So, I mean, I think you were, when you mentioned this before, she doesn't really fit in because of the fact that she's a bit of a bigger girl.
I think that's probably one of the points on the not fit in list.
Yeah. Also, just personality wise, I mean, if we're going to think like actor personality wise, Barbie, don't really go to Amy Schumer. Necessarily, but that doesn't matter.
But she's being cast because
she is opposite.
She doesn't fit that mold. Yeah,
I don't understand this casting for a couple of reasons. One being, girls who play Barbie and who are obsessed with Barbie aren't going to know who Amy Schumer is, because all of Amy Schumer's material is not PG, G appropriate.
Well, I think this goes to, first of all, I just, yeah, okay, let's, mini segment, we're going to talk about the,
yeah,
the thoughts behind the Barbie movie. First of all, I think, why do you need a Barbie movie?
I don't know.
You've got 100 of them on direct-to-video. She's got magical horses or whatever. Girls are your target audience is fine with them.
Yeah.
So if you're going to make one of these, this is probably the only way you can get it done. You have to deconstruct the whole thing. And if you're going to do that, Amy Schumer is probably the best choice.
Okay.
So on the surface, I agree with the whole thing. If we start digging a little bit, I go back to why it's so cynical.
Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
First of all.
And even your thing that is like, she goes away and she learns a lesson. Why doesn't the rest of Barbie Land learn
a freaking lesson
that it's okay for her to be different than they are?
Yeah. And then like, what is
learn the lesson?
What is the lesson that she learns? And then is it about body shaming? Because
that's probably a big part of it.
That's horrible. And like, okay, and there better be some freaking Amy Schumer Barbies coming out that are not like,
oh boy,
that are not the Barbie typical size.
Well, you're almost giving it away because we're going to talk about bullshit toy tie-in promotions for movies
that didn't pull the trigger enough. What else are they doing here? I mean, the dolls
terrible
sell.
Man.
I know the dolls sell themselves.
I don't know. There will have to be an Amy Schumer Barbie if this
yes.
goes through. Of course there will, but I just don't.
I would like this to be a positive thing. I just don't know why.
I think it's look,
this makes sense because it's like her fans are not necessarily going to be into Barbie.
There is no audience overlap.
Where is the overlap?
The only thing you're trying to do is you're trying to maybe hit two corners at the same time. So let's get Amy Schumer fans in. Let's get little
get
girls
their kids
in
or something. I don't know.
Right, and hopefully that's been the bar to getting a Barbie movie on the screen because up to this point, she's got Magical Horse Adventures. It would be so vapid that the parents would be like, We'll wait for that to come out on video so I can go write some more chapters while you watch this.
Yes!
Tips for Melissa Olson.
Oh.
So maybe this will give everybody a chance to get a little bit of both, which is always the thing here. And we shouldn't hold... Here's why it sucks to be... Let me tell you why it sucks to be a woman in this industry. It's because we are scrutinizing her choices. If this was a man, you'd be like, oh, good for The Rock for being in that animated film.
No,
why would The Rock
right.
be in an animated film?
The Rock played a freaking tooth fairy at one point. His eyebrow,
his smile, like that's... Yeah, but even as the tooth fairy, at least we're using his physicality. It's a joke because he's this gigantic guy who's playing a tooth fairy.
Well, that's true.
And so why are we going to scrutinize Amy Schumer's choices? Good for Baby Girl that she's signing this deal and is probably going to make a ton of money off of it.
Right.
But I just still think it's weird because she's clearly not going to be able to fully employ her, you know, suite of R-rated sort of sensibilities to this film.
Right?
Is this the George Carlin-ing of her?
I don't know.
Like, is she going to be on Shining Time Station next?
Yeah.
It's too... My point is, it's too soon for her to go full Nickelodeon.
I agree.
She's got so many dirty years in her life.
I completely agree with you. And my only hope... One of my only hopes is I want this to be something positive. I want them to prove me wrong that I have all these trepidations. And then I also would love for Mattel to be like the beginning of them having a line of Barbies that are reflect all the different body types.
Foul-mouth comedians.
Yes, that reflect all the foul-mouth comedians. Like Sarah Silverman.
For the wardrobe accessories, they're just one outfit?
Yeah.
Because it's the walk of shame?
Yes.
Like the next day?
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Same clothes to work?
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's horrible. Come on. Either you have to shame me or join in. You can't just let me drop
things. I can't decide!
Yeah, okay, well.
I can't decide!
I can understand that. Okay, let's talk Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2.
Yes.
Because it's like a tape or a record or something. Whatever. It's a sequel to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, it is.
And let's see, which came out in summer of 2014. So it's been a long 18 months. But
yes,
here we are. We finally have confirmation of a new film. Well, we knew it was going to come out. But we have confirmation that it's going to be in very similar tone to the first one.
which I'm pretty excited about.
Which, I mean, clearly, I mean, I don't know why anybody would consider that it wouldn't be, but there's all this talk about like Kurt Russell and doing this and that and Ego. Yeah. Stallone. Yeah, well, that remains to be seen. They're keeping that one under pretty tight wraps, I think.
Well, we haven't seen either of them in the trailer, teasers, whatever you want to call
them. No, and of
course,
I'm completely confused as to what constitutes a teaser or a trailer, but I think if this is a teaser, as it is billed, you are just getting people ready. You're whetting their appetite.
Yeah.
So this isn't going to be the story trailer. This isn't where you introduce Kurt Russell or even the idea of a living planet. We're just going to slide back in, you know, with our fun friends.
Yes.
And but Baby Groot this time.
Yes.
Who is, I think, probably far away the breakout star of the trailer.
He is going to steal the show yet again.
Do you
just
know,
saying.
Do you think that Stan Lee knew that he was doing in the 1950s when he created the monster from Planet X?
No.
His name is Groot.
Uh-uh.
Because nobody could have predicted that this guy would take off. I mean, look.
So freaking lovable.
Look at poor Treebeard. Nobody gives a crap about him.
No. No, nobody cares. Because the ants take.
And they're both verbally challenged.
Forever.
Well, yeah.
To talk.
Yes. Yes. Don't you know, don't do an old Bob and Ray bit now. But
I know.
Yeah. So in this trailer, we see our guardians back together again. We don't know what they're doing, but they're doing something. And they're guarding the galaxy, I guess.
Yes, they are.
And they're running into each other and bouncing off each other as per usual. We see Baby Groot, as we said. And then we also get to see Mantis as well.
Yes.
We don't know what capacity she will be in the film. In the comics, she's
one of the guardians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they just kind of have a short little scene with her, which is probably the funniest scene of the trailer.
It's awesome. I freaking love it. Like, if you just watch the trailer if you haven't already. Well, I don't know why you're listening to this still if you haven't watched it yet.
Well, I'm sure.
But yeah, it just makes me laugh just even thinking about it, which to me is like that's a good scene.
Yeah. It seems like I have to say I'm excited for the film, but I don't. This trailer's okay.
Yeah.
I think this trailer has less work to do than to introduce American audiences to five characters they are totally unfamiliar with. And then sell them on a space movie that is not Star Wars or Star Trek.
Yep.
And is also somehow going to tie back into the comics, but don't look for Iron Man or Captain America.
Right.
Because it doesn't really. And so that had a very tall order to pull off.
Absolutely.
And you just add a little Oogachaka and you're good to go. And so I think that those the trailers for the first one were much more distinctive, I think. These are okay. I think that their job is easy because we're already excited, and so all they have to do is just kind of fan the flame. But I don't think they're quite this one and the one we saw previously are quite at the level of the first movie's trailers.
I would agree with that. I mean, I still remember, so that's saying something. I still remember one of the trailers from the original with them as in the lineup, and. You know, what's his name saying? What a-holes, you know? And
right.
Like, you know, you get a little snippet of all of them.
Yeah.
And it's not in the movie in exactly the same way, but that's totally fine.
Yeah.
Because it's a really great way to introduce the characters so you get an idea of who or what they are in Groot's case.
Right.
And, you know, but it does stick out in my mind, which I think what you said. I mean, I think that's a good point.
Yeah. We don't see anything of Nebula in this.
Which is a little disappointing,
Who we did see in the original sort of teaser, whatever they're called. But
yeah.
And some other, like you mentioned, there's no hide nor hair of Kurt Russell just yet. So
Nope, no Yondu yet. People freaking love Yondu. I love Yondu. There's no, what's his name? The Collector. We don't see the Collector at all. I'm assuming he's going to be in this.
You know, I don't know. We've talked
really?
About this so much and reported on casting previously that I can't even. I know that.
Signed a contract. I would just assume that he would be in this, but now I'm
thinking
about it.
Yeah, but they can't. I think
it,
that he's gonna show up in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, for
along
sure.
Along with Jeff Goldblum as the Grandmaster.
Yeah. And
so.
I still think that Doctor Strange, a.k.a. Cumberbatch, is going to show up in that one, too.
Oh, in Ragnarok? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I'm actually really excited to see what he's going to be doing in Ragnarok.
Excited for a Thor movie. Wow. Who would have thought?
You know, Thor Horror gets a bad rap. I really enjoyed the first one a lot. And I think the second one was fairly decent. You know, there have been a lot worse Marvel films.
Yeah. So. I think that it does a good job in that these movies, I think, are gifted with the ability to... So not they don't all have to be... Like, Guardians of the Galaxy is exciting. It's original.
Yeah.
It fits well into the universe, even though it doesn't fit, like we were saying. But if this was just... If there had never been a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man or a Chris Evans Captain America movie, if you just released this film untethered from everything else, it's a great film.
It's a good film. It stands on its own.
And the best part is Marvel movies don't have to be like that. They can kind of suck as films.
Yes.
Thor the Dark World, there is no real like storyline. Like we mm-hmm. start, middle, and finish. It's just kind of 2 hours of Marvel action. But I think that it's still a success because it sort of slots into this 40-hour-long movie that is the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, but part of that issue...
It's better when they can be an actual film,
when they
though.
Can be standalone.
Sure.
Because part of that issue is sometimes they're trying to info-dump so much, or just like, oh, make sure yeah. we give them this little kernel or this little nugget.
I mean, you
that
take,
it's like, well, you I take, see what you're doing. When I see your work, it's yeah, not yeah. as entertaining.
And you take Civil War, which... Well, actually, start with Winter Soldier. You take Winter Soldier, which you have to have a foreknowledge of Captain America. It certainly
yes.
helps if you... saw Sebastian Shaw fall off a train in the first film.
Right.
But otherwise, it just, you know, from start to finish,
it's a great film.
See this guy, and you think I was talking about Bucky, but I'm talking about Cap, you know, sort of relearn his place in the world. He thinks that he's discovered what he needs to be, and he's realizing yeah. that all the things that he looked up to and relied on aren't the same anymore, and so he has to be somebody different. Works. Civil War doesn't really work. Civil War, they just put a bunch of stuff in with Howard and Maria Stark, and then we're supposed yeah. to buy at the end of the film that Tony and Cap are going to do this thing, and it just never really gels. It's fun to watch.
Yes. I like Civil War, but I don't like it as much as Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier is just a far better film.
Is it better than Guardians of the Galaxy 1?
Those two came out like the same year. And those are my top two ranking Marvel films. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard for me to put one above the other one. For a really long time, I was saying, no, Guardians, for sure, Guardians. And then I was like, no, for sure, Winter Soldier. No, for sure. I honestly can't tell you. It's like, they're both so good in different ways. You know, it's like almost hard to compare them. You know?
Well, that is what I asked you to do.
I know.
I mean, we've talked about this on the show before, and we'll wrap up after this. But I would say that I think this is rough. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to begin. I think that Guardians of the Galaxy is the better movie. It might be the best Marvel movie, but I think I like Winter Soldier a little bit more.
Mm.
Winter Soldier is that, and you're talking to a guy who has literally seen Guardians of the Galaxy 7 times in the theater.
Well, you know what?
But I could put on Winter Soldier at any point, and I can't step away from it. Like, I would have to watch it the whole way through.
Well, honestly, I think I'm going to, just the way you said that, I think I'm going to have to agree with you. Because even talking about how much I love Guardians and how much I'm excited about Guardians of the Galaxy 2, when we started talking about Winter Soldier, there was a part of me that's like, let's watch that right now. And I didn't have that thought for Guardians.
Right.
Which is, I don't know why, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I have to agree with you.
Although, I could watch Guardians anytime, too.
I know.
Yep, they're both pretty good films. And we'll be looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which comes out May 5th of 2017. All right, let's get this. We've gone most of the way. Let's go all the way with Jingle All the Way. 1996 comedy that was produced by Chris Columbus. Sometimes I want to just shake. I want to hold Chris Columbus down until the bubbles stop. You know what I mean?
Ow.
I don't feel like he's ever produced anything worth it. And then, excuse me. Oh, no. Gargoyle, please. He wrote Gremlins. He wrote The Goonies. Yeah, but how much of that?
What about Home Alone?
Yeah, okay, hold on. But like, how much of Gremlins was Joe Dante, and how much of Goonies was Richard Donner? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like the script, of course, you can't discredit the importance of the script, but
no.
But it develops over a lot of collaboration, and I think
yes.
Gremlins totally would have happened still. Now, would we have got the great Phoebe Cates monologue about, you know, her dad stuck in the chimney or whatever? I don't know. We might have lost pieces of it, but look at what he's gone on to do, and you go, okay, Home Alone, but John Hughes. Like, how much of that was John Hughes?
Yeah, a lot.
And other than that, like, you think, oh, the first two and worst Harry Potter movies, Chris Columbus, woohoo. Also, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, which mm-hmm. it features a cameo by our future president-elect. So, get excited.
Don't remind me.
Get excited about the whole thing. So, it's got that going against it. It was directed by Brian Levant. Ask me what else he's directed.
What else has he directed?
Nothing.
Oh.
Nothing.
Wow.
He directed the... Okay, now, I forgot that this existed, but the Leave It to Beaver feature film?
What?
Yeah, remember that?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
When did that come out?
1997.
I don't remember that at
you
all.
You think that the remakes and all that, this is a current thing? No, this has been going on forever.
No, I understand that, but
he
I used to watch...
both Flintstones movies, Snow Dogs. Snow Dogs.
Boy.
Remember Snow Dogs?
Sadly, yes.
Yes, the end of Cuba
Gooding
Jr.'s
career. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And pretty much nothing else. The Scooby-Doo movies. Actually, no, wait, the Scooby-Doo TV movies. So... this guy is like...
You had to qualify that.
Well, I did. He's pretty much shut down. Is written by a guy named Randy Cornfield, who has written pretty much nothing else. So don't worry about it. It is scoring at a high 19%, or excuse me, 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Which I don't think is undeserved.
No, I don't either. It's pretty wretched.
Yeah. Not very good. It's 89 minutes long, which is probably its only saving grace.
Yes.
And it was a success at the box office. I mean, it's a Schwarzenegger movie, so you've got that going for you. $75 million budget, and really, on Reindeer Chow, where did $75 million go?
Maybe, like, the ridiculous superhero costumes, which basically look like they're kind of like a knockoff of, like, Power Rangers, which was really
stuff.
Big at the time.
Yeah,
yeah, I know.
Flying? I don't know. But it made $130 million. So, okay. Not too bad for a piece of crap.
Why did Schwarzenegger do this?
I'll tell you right now.
That's what I want to know.
We're just gonna beat the crap out of this film. Like, if you love this movie and you don't want to hear us just assassinate it, then you could probably just move on with your business. But because this is completely unredeemable. I can't think of anything good about this movie. And here's why. It's not funny. It's a comedy that's not funny.
Yep.
It is a movie that I think on the box art, you know, or on the box blurb, or if in interviews with the director and writer and stars, they say that it is takes on the over-commercialization of Christmas, and yet is a movie literally
promotes
about a guy
it.
Getting a toy for his kid.
Yeah.
So it fails at its stated goal, which is to send up the commercialization of Christmas. I mean, it just fails at every level. And
Absolutely.
It's got Sinbad in it. And this is like not funny Sinbad.
This is very
you go,
not funny Sinbad.
There's a funny Sinbad? Yeah, there's a funny Sinbad. He was in another movie the year before this with Phil Hartman called House Guest, which is not a great movie, but it's okay.
I like that movie.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
I've actually seen that movie a couple of times.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. No, that was a funny movie.
But this is like not funny
no.
at all. Sinbad.
Uh-uh.
He's not funny and a little scary.
A little bit.
Like he literally, this is pre-9/11, you can do whatever you want, but he's literally like threatening police officers with bombs.
And he's a postal worker. And he's like,
and he's
you know I'm
work.
Crazy.
Oh.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. Joe Pesci originally up for the role of Myron.
Why does that not freak me? I mean, come on. Yeah. I
Might
could totally see Joe Pesci.
Might have been a better film.
Yeah. In that role, like, at, you know, Home Alone, Joe Pesci.
Well, yeah. That's I'm assuming where that's where they got him from,
yeah.
where we're going to get him from. But
Yeah.
And I think that they made the switch to Sinbad probably because cheaper, but also because they wanted somebody who was sort of physically similar to Schwarzenegger.
Okay,
just
sure.
to make the, I don't know, it's silly to say the word threat, but just the threat of their being against each other more real. I didn't think they wanted to do another Twins, you know, with like a DeVito and Schwarzenegger type thing. No offense to Mr. Pesci. He's a giant in acting.
Yes. Probably not as short as DeVito, but...
Well, no.
But I know, but maybe it would have been funnier to see like this tough, like New York guy.
I got a bomb!
Yeah, exactly.
You know I'm crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. It's almost as if they like gave them a lot of room to improvise and they didn't really do it.
Most, if not all of Sinbad's dialogue was improvised. Yep. Sometimes you can write jokes. Sometimes you write jokes. Other times you try to improvise. But yeah. Yep. It also stars Rita Wilson, who I'm sure is the sweetest like woman alive.
Mm-hmm.
She and Tom Hanks those kids are going on forever.
Yeah.
But I just never felt that she's a very strong actress.
I don't know that I've ever really seen her in anything.
She's like a nice lady and a good mom. do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, she hasn't really been in much. And then she kind of hooked up with Tom Hanks and then kind of faded away off the sort of acting circuit. But she's game in this, as they say often in reviews about bad movies. But she just doesn't have anything to bring, really. In fact, speaking of like being comedic and bringing chops, Schwarzenegger actually does okay. By this point, he's been in more than a few Twins. He's been in a couple different comedies now. I think Junior was like 94?
Sure.
So, yeah, he's been in comedies. I think that he can do himself. He can do his own comedy stuff. But again, he's just not really given anything.
No, I mean, there's like one point where...
If you punch out a reindeer and you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, you have to have... like a line.
Yeah. Instead, that's a good point.
He just physically assaults
a
reindeer.
Where are the one-liners?
No line.
You need to give Schwarzenegger some one-liners.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just makes me wonder, like, what did Schwarzenegger do that he, like, had to promise somebody to be in this movie? Like, did he owe somebody some money? Like, did he, like, you know, play a really bad hand at, like, poker a couple times or something like
that? No, I don't even think that it was something like that. I think that it was $20 million, which is, we were questioning where the budget came from.
Yeah.
I think it was that. Okay. And then it was also just, he had been attached to the remake of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh.
The one that eventually turned into the Tim Burton movie from 2001. Fox had wanted to make this for a long time, and he was going to be a part of it.
Sure.
Which, no offense to Marky Mark, but Arnold Schwarzenegger doing Marlon Brando, doing Chuck Heston. Marlon Brando, Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
would have been great, you know? Loincloth, shotgun.
Yes.
Broken Statue of Liberty. But that just never came together, and so he just left that to do this, basically. Probably wished he'd stayed on that
one.
Too
bad.
Yeah. Do we need to talk about the plot? We don't have to talk about the plot, do we?
There's not really
Arnold
much
Schwarzenegger
plot.
Is a workaholic dad. His kid, played by Jake Lloyd, we'll get to that, wants this Turbo Man doll. Stupid thing. Nowadays, if you ask them, I bet they would claim that they did not try to tie it to a real character or property, like the new Transformer or something like that,
sure.
Because they didn't want to
go on to the commercialism.
Well, they didn't want to sell out for the thing that so they're supposedly decrying.
Right.
But they tried. They totally tried to. They made Turbo Man toys.
Of course they did.
They just didn't. If you read, you know, the background of the film, they apparently didn't do it soon enough to get it in for Christmas. So there was like a crappy like replica doll, but they weren't able to
make the doll that they talk about in the movie.
Well, one that flies. But they weren't able to sign any like deals with like Taco Bell or something like that. But they totally tried to. And then after they didn't get him, they're like, "Oh no, we didn't want to do that because." But it's like it's clear that
you
would have been pleased as punch if the real Turbo Man sold out of all the toy stores.
Yes.
But anyway, he's got to get this Turbo Man because his kid loves Turbo Man, which is the fakest looking TV show and hero I've ever seen.
It seriously looks like Power Rangers.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Except not as good.
Right. And that's saying something.
It is saying something.
And so he goes, of course, he goes to the store where Chris Parnell, in what must be one of his first movie roles, laughs at him and tells him that there's no, of course, you're not going to get one.
Yeah.
It's sold out. And so he goes on this Twin Cities spanning adventure, literally, because the path that he takes makes no sense.
No.
He's in St. Paul for one moment, and he's in Minneapolis in the next.
If you're familiar with the Twin Cities at all, they're basically, you know, Minneapolis and St. Paul, right next to each other, both very large cities, and together are kind of, some people might consider like one, but the river divides them, and they're very different feels about them.
And the Mall of America, which this movie takes place for a significant portion, is in a completely different town.
Yes, it is. It's a suburb.
Yeah. So all day long, it's Christmas Eve, but I think it's also like the weekend, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
But it's Christmas Eve.
I guess
Eve.
It doesn't matter. It's Christmas Eve. Of course, his family's mad because immediately he has to go out and get this toy because he forgot to get the toy. But he's told the family he got it. So now he has a mission. Yeah. He's got to get the Turbo Man. And he drives all over hell and back to get this thing, running afoul of a postal worker played by Sinbad.
Yep.
Named Myron Larrabee, who never really has a backstory. Later on, we find out that I guess his dad was going to get him a toy or something like that.
Yes. Well, we get a little bit of his backstory early on, that he has a kid and is divorced, and he has to get his kid this toy. And
right.
He's just been so
but
busy
when they go to
he's
Mickey's
a postal
Diner,
worker.
Yes. They kind of bond because he's like, you know, I wanted this toy when I was a kid. My dad wasn't able to get it, and so I don't want my kid to go through that, too.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to feel for him, but then he's just an insane person.
He is.
Just a comically insane person who kidnaps Richard Mall at the end and dresses up like the bad guy to fight Schwarzenegger as he's dressed up as Turbo Man. Who cares?
Yep.
And we were talking about like unreality before. Like Robert Conrad gets blown up with a bomb at, like Wile E. Coyote does. Like he's all black.
Black soot and hair blown back.
And then at the end, of course, this guy is a fictional hero on a show, but if you wear his suit, it's got like a real jetpack, so now Arnold Schwarzenegger is like flying around downtown Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Totally real, because this is all real stuff.
Yeah.
And he's shooting discs at people.
And winning. Hashtag winning.
Let's just talk about Jake Lloyd so we can be done with this.
Okay.
Jake Lloyd, probably the first of the last of his films. That doesn't mean anything.
No. I mean,
he's only been in like 6 or 7 films total. Like the kid retired at like 10.
Have you seen the picture of him on IMDb? He just looks.
I've seen his mugshot.
He just looks like a tool. He's got.
Oh boy! Hey,
I'm sorry. He's got a skeevy stash and goatee, a skeevy goatee as well.
Just, yeah.
Wow.
And this is this came out in '96. Phantom Menace came out in '99. I have to imagine they were probably shot around the same time, though.
I think so.
Because he's pretty young in this, but I don't think he's too much older. In Phantom Menace, although he is in the great tradition of child actors, as an adult, he's kind of small today, too. They are, you know, they're small people. Look at your Mara Wilsons.
Yeah.
Or your Mickey Rooneys.
Or your Drew Barrymores.
Is that one we're going? Is that where we're going?
I
that
don't know.
One?
I don't know.
Oh, boy. Anyway,
wow.
Coke stunts your growth. So,
wow.
Yeah, he retired basically from full time acting like immediately after this. And the kid had a hard row to hoe. Apparently, he suffered a lot of bullying from his classmates because he was in Star Wars. Now,
wow.
If I was just spitballing as a 10-year-old, maybe this is where the disillusionment comes from. I would think, they would carry you out of the lunchroom on their
they
shoulders.
They must not have liked
like Rudy.
His portrayal, though.
Well.
That must have been what it was.
But kids are dumb, though. Kids like Jar Jar. They don't care that Anakin sucks.
Yeah, but kids are mean, too. Kids are really mean.
Yeah, but all they would do is...
Maybe they were jealous.
That's probably what it was. And because you can hear interviews with him when he used to give them about how kids would make lightsaber sounds. And I guess that's the bullying that he received. Now, I'm not discrediting the bullying. If kids are directing ill feelings towards you...
Yeah.
That's bullying. But yeah, at the same time, like it's not like the kids were like... You know, you were really wooden as an actor. It's like they're directing their barbs to specific things. But yeah, it didn't work out for the kid. And it's funny because he was born in Colorado. And I guess I don't know exactly where he lived after that. But his dad was like a on-set medic and his mom was an entertainment agent. So they definitely had a foot in the world of Hollywood.
Yeah.
But I don't know if her or his mom prepared him well enough for what he was going to experience, you know. I mean, he did quit full-time. He did voice acting, actually, for the Star Wars games for a few years to come.
Sure.
But, yeah. And then, you know, as we know now, fell into substance abuse and was arrested, going the wrong way at 1,000,000 miles an hour or something like that. As far as I know, currently in a residential facility, you know, transferred out of jail to, you know, a less security thing just for treatment and stuff like that. So It's one of those sad stories.
You know,
I mean, he's still with us. He's still around. And yes. He's getting help. So there's a happy ending to it.
There's something there.
It's got to be tough for these kids to go through something like this. I mean, you mentioned Drew Barrymore. I think that's a great comparison.
Well, and she's one of the lucky ones because she really came out on the other side of it and then has also decided to continue working in entertainment. She didn't need to do that, you know, obviously.
But then she would have never been kissed.
There you go. I was not expecting to feel this way, but I actually feel kind of really bad for him.
Is there? I do too.
And you know, I don't think he's a great actor.
Well, no, he's not.
I think he was horrible in Star Wars. I think he was not great in this.
It's weird too because, well, yeah, I mean, but then again, the kid's 8.
I know.
So
what do you want?
Right, and he definitely, even though he stopped acting, he continued to do. He'd do appearances on like the con circuit and stuff like that.
Sure.
I think we've talked about this before. I think that the world's ready for Ahmad Best to like embrace Jar Jar. Now that there's a new good Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
He's never, as far as I know, done the con circuit because he figures who wants to see Jar Jar.
But I think you're right.
But think of all the money he's leaving on the table.
Yeah.
Suck it up and do it.
I know.
And even as Anakin, yeah, people hated those films, but I doubt that they would, you know, trip, knock the lunch tray out of Jake Lloyd's hands at a con.
Right. I don't think so.
But it didn't help.
No.
Do you think that there's a little girl, like, lost type book inside of him? If he can get things together, he can do like a memoir type thing?
He totally could. I think he totally could. And that, oh, wow, that just makes me so sad.
It worked out for Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, I know. But, like, I didn't expect to be super sad while I was talking
about Jingle All the Way. Just generally sad.
Which I hated.
Yeah.
It's just not a great movie. And, like, as, like, the young kid in it, I mean, I don't know how he was directed to like act or whatever, but he just kind of is spoiled and obviously is upset that his dad isn't around as much, and
yeah.
Then he really really wants this toy and then just is continually let down by his dad, and so he just continually like really lays it into his dad. I mean, I know he's a little kid.
Yeah, he's tough on his dad.
He really is.
But I mean, it's this is Schwarzenegger, so he can take it.
Yeah, totally.
This little kid is like Bennett in Commando. It's an SAT question.
No.
That ends with Jake Lloyd getting impaled with a steam pipe.
Oh.
Can we talk about anything good you got in this movie?
Can we talk about Phil Hartman?
We talk about Phil Hartman.
I miss Phil Hartman.
These cookies are so good.
Yeah. Okay. that was actually a really funny moment. And it was just like, wow, what did they put in those cookies, you know?
Well, yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's clear that he came to play. Like,
totally.
I think that's the one kind of original thing that I think I like. Okay, workaholic dad who neglects his family, seen it a million times. Even the people punching each other to death for a Cabbage Patch doll. I mean, that's kind of from literal headlines. That's where they got the idea. Cornfield got the idea for the script.
Right.
But yeah, so you write in this thing about the divorced dad who lives next door, who's kind of, you know, making time with all the with all the housewives in the neighborhood. It's like, okay, that's like an SNL skit right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes with his, like, you know, his work boots on to just digs right into it. And I think that's really great. They saddle him with stupid things like he's got a reindeer for some reason. But yeah, I mean, he was great. And then, of course, he disappears because it doesn't have anything to do with, like, the main story still. But it's too bad.
Yeah.
And he smells like barf.
Which I guess eggnog smells like barf.
Not really.
Or something. I don't get that line.
I don't know. I'm going to say it. I think that Jim Belushi they could have done more with him.
They absolutely could have.
Martin Mull is in this.
Yeah,
this is how much this movie has. There must be like a longer version or a different script or something. Because like Lorraine Newman and like Harvey Korman are in this thing for like a second. We talked about Chris Parnell. I guess he was the young then. Curtis Armstrong is in this as a guy who puts a mask on and then we don't see.
I know.
And he's like one of your most, he was the Chris Parnell of that time.
Yeah.
You could get in something with him.
Yes.
Richard Maul is the Dementor or whatever and gets knocked out to be replaced by Sinbad.
Yep.
Like, what's going on?
I don't know. I really don't know. And it's like, yeah, like, it's like, come on, you could have. I don't know if it just, you know, actually having a script and then allowing the actors to improvise if they so chose, or, you know, having a better director, or, you know,
oh, boy.
I don't know what could have made this better. I mean, the story certainly is not strong.
No.
And if I had known, because I remember hearing. I remember hearing about this film when it came out, and it was really big, of course, because, you know, we're from the Twin Cities. So, I mean, I remember hearing about it being filmed around the area and everything.
Yeah.
But
I think probably the worst part is that it contains not one, not two, but four songs performed by the Brian Setzer Orchestra. So screw you, film. Just screw you.
I didn't like it.
Would you recommend it?
I would not recommend.
I can't think of a single reason to. Unless you are collecting...
Get out of my way, box.
Okay, all right. The one,
your one favorite line.
Which was probably just, you know...
Improvised.
Sinbad was just, you know, telling this box to get out of his way. Thought it was funny. I don't know why. But it also might have been one of those... they've been hitting Bond in the nuts with a rug beating rope for like 20 minutes and then he just starts laughing. They're like, what are you laughing about? It's like, I don't know. That might have been why I found that funny.
Yeah.
Just being assaulted by this film.
I mean,
Phil Hartman's great. I bet you could probably find his scenes on YouTube. So maybe check those out.
Mm-hmm.
And just think about Arnold Schwarzenegger he's in fear of being cuckolded by his next door neighbor who loves eggnog and cookies.
Yeah.
The nightmare of any workaholic father, the super supportive single neighbor.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, I can't even imagine why you would need to see this film.
I can't either. Do you have a
It's not even heartwarming.
No, it's not.
No.
It's really not.
And the best part is, like, he is a terrible dad.
Yes.
He neglects his fatherly duties up into including the night of Christmas, Christmas Eve. Then he goes out on Christmas Eve to cause mayhem and literally blow up a police officer.
Yeah.
He steals a Turbo Man suit under false pretenses, beats the crap out of a postal worker.
Yep.
And then at the end, he goes, oh, you're the real Turbo Man. He's like, oh, Jamie. And then the crowd picks him up and takes him away from his wife and son.
From his family.
I know.
It's like, wait, what?
Right.
And then Jamie gives his doll to Sinbad, who is being taken away in handcuffs, like, or chains or whatever.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Like, is he actually getting arrested?
Well, they'll just put it in the impound. He'll get it back when they release him, if they ever release him. One thing that I forgot to mention that I only know about because I read a thing on the movie, we turned it off in disgust the second I saw the director's credit.
Yeah.
But there is a post-credit scene.
Oh, you're kidding.
Where Howard finally gets to put the star on the tree. I guess we thought about it. We knew that they didn't wrap that up.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's like, oh, Merry Christmas. And then he realizes that he forgot to get Liz's present. And then he, like, does a take to the camera. And it's like, screw you, movie. I'm glad I didn't see that because I'd be buying a new TV right now.
That makes me so angry.
Yeah. Jingle harder. Jingle all the way-er.
You don't deserve your family, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Son of Jingle All the Way.
In this movie anyways. Yeah.
I mean, your kid grew up to be Jake Lloyd.
Ooh.
20-something years later, let's do it.
Jingle All the Way.
A dark reimagining of Jingle All the Way. He's going to visit his kid in county lockup, and he forgot to get the gift that he was going to give him. You know, like a carton of cigarettes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Some magazines.
Let's stop.
Okay.
Let's stop. Speaking of prison and getting out of prison, the next film we're going to watch. No, look, I'm a professional. The next film we're going to watch in this ill-conceived segment is Reindeer Games. You know Reindeer Games.
I actually am not super familiar with Reindeer Games. I'm going to be completely honest. I've never seen it before.
You've never seen Reindeer Games. Okay, No. Good. We're going to introduce you to Reindeer Games. It is a 2000 year 2000 action movie. Directed by John Frankenheimer, don't get too excited, starring Ben Affleck. There we go.
Oh, there it is.
And Charlize Theron, about a convict who gets out of jail, and he... Well, it's not ruining anything.
No.
I'll tell you right now, since you know anything about it. So this convict is in jail. He's got a partner, like a cellmate, and they're buddies. And they're both going to get out right before Christmas. And his buddy tells him about this girl he's got back home.
Yeah,
how great she is. The day before they're going to get out of prison, his buddy's killed. His buddy's played by James Frain, English actor James Frain. So Ben Affleck's character gets out of jail now. He goes to where the guy's thing is, and he pretends to be the guy. See, a lot of these movies start with, like, implied rape.
Wait, what? How long have they both been in prison?
A while. He's met this. He met the woman like as a pen pal, and so he pretends to be his friend. And
okay.
Now so when I say it out really loud, it's super rapey.
It's kind of gross.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to watch Reindeer Games.
I'm actually kind of excited about it as well, just because I love Charlize Theron now. I did not feel that way back in 2000. So. Let's see if I enjoy
her
performance.
Well, to be fair, she didn't have much to talk about, to crow about in 2000.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
2 days in the valley. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of some more stuff. Not much. We hadn't hit Aeon Flux yet.
No, but...
Thank God.
Yeah, but I still think that maybe I was a little harsh on some of her earlier work. So
okay, well, here's your chance to put that to the test.
Yep.
When we watch Reindeer Games on the next Craft of Services.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll feel so blue. You just thinking. About you.
It's dangerous when you go hunting for Christmas movies.
It really is.
You can get in a lot of trouble.
You definitely can. I mean, do you have favorite Christmas movie? If you could think of one that you enjoy watching, what would you enjoy watching?
Oh man,
I can
man.
Give you mine.
Yeah,
that's
please
helpful.
Give me yours.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, okay,
hands down, that's
sure.
my favorite.
Sure.
My family has a tradition of like watching it like every year around the holidays.
Yeah.
I constantly think of, and even now that I am working for a company that gives client holiday gifts, I just am so thankful that I work for a company that does not give Jelly of the Month Club, because that movie has forever marked that as just the worst gift you could ever get.
Or like socks.
Right.
There's a lot of... So the dot-com boom is back. We're like in the third or fourth iteration now, because there's a lot of companies that are offering services that you're like, who wants that? Why?
I know.
But it's back now. And I listen to a lot of podcasts, and a lot of them have like, you know, stamps.com or whatever. But I think we've moved on from that. The big thing now is like signing somebody up for a sock subscription service.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that.
What? A nightmare. Why?
And then the whole idea of having cute, fun little socks is you get to pick them out.
Oh, no, no. You don't get to pick these.
I know you don't.
So, like...
I know. So, you could get, like, a really ridiculous, horribly colored, like, creepy-looking porcupine on your socks, and then you have to wear that, you know? And then it's, like, it has to be actually, like, funny to you, right? Right?
I hope so. Otherwise, somebody wasted 10 bucks a month.
I know.
Whatever it is.
Yeah,
absolutely. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. It's better than Rock of the Month Club, though. The shipping costs on that one are real bad. Well, rock out with us on our social media offerings. If you go to Facebook or Twitter and search for Justin F. Trope, you can find us and share your thoughts about the movies we're watching, things we're doing in the future. You can also find us on iTunes. If you go to iTunes and search for Justin F. Trope, you can find our show page. While you're there, oh, we should subscribe. You don't have to pay $10 for some socks you don't want.
No.
You can just subscribe to the show and get it for free twice a week when it comes out. As soon as it's out and ready to listen to, it's yours. And leave us a review while you're on iTunes, because it's really important for our show. We love hearing feedback from the fans, and we also like when iTunes knows that we're doing a good job. People leave reviews, or they give us a rating, a high rating, 5 of something or other. Then we move up in the ranks on iTunes, and we get to reach more people. And that is what everybody wants. So give us 5 boxes. And we can just get out of our way, boxes. If you haven't seen the film, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
And it's never going to make any sense, because I'm begging you to not watch the film.
And it'll only make sense and will only be funny
it
if
does
you
not,
do watch the film.
Yeah, it does not
and
matter.
And it's not worth it.
Let it slide off your back. Yep.
Let it go.
And just give us 5 stars instead. On our next show, we're back to talking about comic books, and it is Comic Book Club. We are talking about Next Wave, Agents of Hate. All 12 issues, all 12 glorious only issues of Next Wave by Warren Ellis and Stuart Immonen.
First of all, poor Stuart Immonen. Like, it's like a tongue twister just to say his name, his last name.
A lot of consonants.
Immonen.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry. Didn't mean to be disrespectful there. It's just a mouthful. But did not realize that, like, the sub-colon title of that was Agents of Hate.
Yeah.
And I know it's supposed to be like super cool, but it just makes me kind of laugh.
Well, it's also Agents of H-A-T-E. It's an acronym.
Oh, shush.
Yeah. Or an initialism. I always get this mixed up.
Wow. Okay.
What is the difference? You know what? We could ask an editor. We could ask an editor what the difference is between those two things.
There you go.
Like we're going to do on our next show. The next time you hear us, 99% sure.
Yes.
We should have an interview with Lynn M. Thomas, who is a editor and an author herself, most notably of the Chicks Dig series of books, Chicks Dig Time Lords.
Yep.
It's a collection of essays from female creators and fans about Doctor Who. And she has other books like that as well. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about her work as an archivist, a podcaster, and a professional like con attender. Con guest. She's at every con she goes to, she's asked to go to. But yeah. We spoke to her at Convergence of this year, had a great talk, and we'll be talking about a lot of the things that we talked to her about, because that the dog ate that interview, but we're going to make up for it, and so you'll be hearing from her on the next show, hopefully. If not, we'll come up with something else, and we'll be talking to her somewhere down the line, but we should be talking to her then. That is about it. I'm going to be done talking for now.
Okay.
Are you good?
I'm good, Cal.
Okay, then I think that we should sign off and go look for a Turbo Man doll.
Oh no!
Put the cookie down. So we'll be doing that. We're signing off, though. I'm your host, Calvin.
I'm your co-host, Mikan Hanna.
Keep the geek fires burning.
You'll be doing all right with your Christmas up with your white, blue Christmas.